Hey, 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 everyone, and welcome to another episode of Dear God. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? So we're doing a little prank calling today. We're going to just call someone random. Well, someone on my phone, of course, and we're going to have a session. Let's see how it goes. And if you're tuning in for the first time, thanks for tuning in to Dear God. Are we there yet? Share the episode. Share it with everyone. And if you want to be in the show, email us at hello@deargodarewetherayet.com. All right, so let's get the call started.
Hey.
Hey, how are you?
I'm okay. I was just going to call you.
Really? Well, how about if I told you that you're on my show?
Oh, okay. Hey. Hey, so what's up? Hey, world, how we doing?
I decided to this week we were going to do some prank calling. Not really prank calling, but just calling random. And I'm like, you know what? Richardson always has awesome things to say. He always has an opinion about something, which is good. It's not a bad thing. And so yeah. I wanted to have you on my show. So how you doing?
I'm doing good. Am I on the show now?
Well, you're on the show. I mean, this is pre-recorded, but when they hear it, they'll be hearing it very soon.
Okay, no problem. I'm doing good. I'm okay. You know, life is, you know, hitting me. Challenging me, and I'm doing that. So what's going on, beautiful?
Nothing much, but before we get started, can you tell everybody a little bit?
Congratulations.
I know, thank you, thank you. Tell everybody a little bit about your hash browns in case there's some actors or actresses in the LA area. Tell them how they can, before we get in the call, tell them who you are just so that, you know, whoever's listening, they might want to get in contact with you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Richardson Sherry, D-H-E-R-Y, like actual cherry, but with one R and a Y. I am an extraordinary human being. I sing, dance, and act, and I don't mean that to be cocky, I just am. I've recently opened up my own acting studio, which, believe it or not, I had a lot of kids, but within the span of a year, I decided to not do that. Yeah, that's who I am.
Awesome. So I want to get into real life events. Tell me something that's kind of like annoying you, that's going on in the world right now that's annoying you.
In the world?
In the world. Anything. It could be anything.
I think that I don't like our teenage angst that we're going through right now in the world.
The teenage what?
Anxiety. Like, there's like this whole thing. Every country seems to be behaving like teenagers.
All right. Tell us a little bit more about that. Because, I mean, that's a good analogy, but be specific. It's okay. There's no judgment zone.
Oh, girl, I'm not going to. Listen, they can judge away. Do what you should do. But, no, what I mean is, I just feel like we're reaching a point where everyone's acting like kids. We're not, like, you know, fastening our seatbelts or our belt on and really just, you know, take life by the hand or by our knowledge of what we know that works and going on with that. And with that said, also, the older people are not giving the younger people a place to talk or to change things. So it's muddying the water. There's no truth. There are no facts anymore. Everything is based around, you know, like a television show or high school. It's very, we're at a very immature stage right now, I believe, as a society or as a people, and I don't like it. At that, I'm talking about, like, you know, the majority of, you know, the developed world. Regular people around the world, I feel like, you know, they're dealing with real stuff that they really have to deal with. But I think we've gotten to a point as a society where in certain cultures we're too, I don't know, modernized, that we are now finding things to talk about or to make them an issue that are just, you know, social things. And we need to not do that. And there are things about the old way that works, and there are things about the old ways of doing things that just doesn't work anymore.
But there's a reason why. But there's a reason why they want us to be in the dark. There's a reason why they don't want us to speak. There's a reason why they don't want things to come to light. There's a reason for that control. There's a reason for that cheapery.
I agree, and I always go back to what I say. People may think of it as a shithole country and many things that our president said, but, you know, and unity is strength. That is the motto of Haiti. And if you can keep them divided, they will remain poor. You will make a lot of money off of them. And that is all that has happened in pretty much majority of a lot of cultures as I look around the world. You can call a place like Haiti a third world country and all this is happening. Blah, blah, blah. The same thing that happens there happens here. It's just per what square feet or per capita or per however you decide to divide that place. It's happening here in America also. That's what I have to say about that. Level of corruption, divisiveness. I do want to say that America, for a very long time, they tried to not put, you know, divisiveness in front of your face. But what has not helped America is the internet, technology, young people, and the acceptance of minorities and women and many things. So now we get to see really where we are at, and people don't like it.
But is America really the greatest? You see, I have to see, like, I see it from two point of view.
I don't think it's the greatest at all. I just think that America has been able to have different pockets of neighborhoods that are thriving and people rather live there or it becomes a representation of America. But there are places where people are starving in America and there's free food. You know,
exactly.
So what would happen to a place where they don't have anything? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. So the corruption is shown differently, per se, like in Dominican Republic or Haiti, where you can see it, where here your neighbor could be corrupt or the mayor could be corrupt. And it's just like it's hushed and hide in here. But then I hear...
Oh, no. I do not think it's hushed and hidden. What they do is they use the policies that they put into practice
to hush and hide.
To block them. And on top of that, then they are still stealing on top of changing the rules. This is why a lot of politicians, or even Donald Trump himself, has said, you know, I make the system work for me. Just because I'm using a law that is in play and I'm doing it legally, you can't be mad at me.
Yeah.
He's done that in the past. And so does a lot of people.
And I see that's playing the cards or playing your game right, because I see a lot of people, like even immigrants here in the U.S., that you tell them, are you affected by this? Are you affected by that? And the first thing some of them say, they say yes, and some of them say no. I play the game right back. You have to be educated enough to try to learn where you can, what you can do around. But still, Richardson, do you really think that America is the greatest? I mean, yes, if you have to choose between here and your country, I mean, you know that there's more opportunities, but then why aren't there opportunities in Haiti, which there really are, but are they highlighted? I mean, I'm just putting this out there in general, because I know a lot of people that are listening might have their own opinions about it. But I think of it this way, like even when I go in my country and I say, damn, we have a beautiful, amazing country, but then I see how controlled it is. And then I see why people are screaming to come out to another shithole. And excuse my language by saying that, because it's not that America's a shithole. I'm just saying that it's a different type of shithole. Does that make sense?
I agree. I just, like I said, I really, 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 really don't think that there's no such thing as the greatest, honestly. I think what we need to do is learn what's happening in America that is savagely dirty and no one understands, you know, that this is human nature. This is what we do. This is when the less educated and the less wanting to try to make society better is in power. That is what's happening. And the greatest lesson we can learn is when you divide people, you are conquering them. You can make money off of them. Everything will be, it's division. The human history, human, right now as we're living, division, division, division. There's not a thing you can think about once you've added division into it that you didn't get what you wanted, or, you know what I'm saying? Like in a relationship, when someone else comes in, that is division right there, showing its weak, like ugly. I think the evil that we talk about, the devil, the thing that's poking you, you're going to be burning alive forever. Because, sorry, I don't believe in the Bible. I would say it is division. It masks itself in division. And within division lives jealousy, lives lust, lives everything within division. You bring something else into something that is harmonious, you are bringing in division.
that even religion, that even religion could be considered division, because I'm seeing just by because
religion comes into the human mind and tells you this is what you have to do. You don't talk to people that do this. You don't do this. You don't do this. This is why every intellectual and, you know, at like the fucking, what is that place called? Where the Pope is?
The Vatican.
Yes. No. Sorry, I couldn't think of it right now.
I know.
The Vatican, a lot of the pastors, they're changing their tune.
Yeah.
There's a reason why the Pope says, if he made you this way, why do I have to judge you? Where in the past it wasn't bad.
Well, and people are now looking at down on him and saying, well, then who are, you know, now they're questioning. Because what it is, it's like mini cults. It's mini cults if you think about it.
Yes, the old way of doing things is fighting back on every corner inch of the world because of technology, internet, and how much we've advanced. And people are fucking a lot. And so what happens is, when you're not no longer attracted to the person that looks like you, you want something different. Do you know what I'm saying? You go to that place to find you can do that. Or you go on the internet and you do that and blah, blah. So it's changing the world. And that is starting to show itself also in the world. And the old ways of doing things, the people sticking to your culture, sticking to what you know, they don't like that. And they want to fight it. And the way you fight these things, it's not by telling people anymore. Religion used to tell you straight up, you don't talk to these people because of their lifestyle, the way they do, or blah, 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 blah. Now, they are doing it, and they're doing it in a way that it's not so blatant to create this division and on a worldwide way of doing it.
But then you see, you mentioned technology, and I guess with everything going on, like you gave a great example about the Pope and all that stuff and all these different religions, but then now technology is being used where you don't even know what is real and what is not real.
And,
that's a major problem.
Damn, we got a lot of topics. That's a huge problem because controlling information is knowledge. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so now we're in a world where, you know, people, different perspectives that shouldn't be listened to are being listened to. And I can understand, I used to be very Mark Zuckerberg, you know, like, oh, everybody has an opinion, it's good to hear it, and then we can educate them. Sometimes there are things that are said that shouldn't be said because they don't exist. It's not real. They don't apply in the world that we're trying to live in.
So opinions become facts, or opinions become a perception of this because 50,000 people agreed with me, this has now become a fact, correct? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes.
So let me ask you this, because this is a huge thing that's going around that I kind of feel some type of way when people say this. What is your definition of when somebody says, are you awoke or stay woke or whatever that is? Because my definition is completely different than that. What does that mean to you when somebody says, are you woke or are they awake or whatever? I don't even know the terminology, but you know what I'm trying to say.
Listen, I don't consider myself a young person, even though I'm very young.
I know, but I'm just the analogy of it, of being awake and knowing truth. What does that mean to you?
What does that mean to me?
Yeah, like if somebody says, are you awake or stay woke or stay awake or so know truth, what does that come with? What's the first thing that comes to your mind? Because we just talked about how someone can say their opinion and then that can be a matter of a fact when it should, which is
all
not.
Right, I got your answer. I think it's stupid.
Go, guys. Love it. Tell me more.
I really do. I think it's stupid because when people say that, I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, bitch, I've always been awoke or awakened. You know what
awakened.
I mean? Because the way you are awakened is it's not by feeling that you're either a woman or black or gay or whatever. And, you know, I'm fighting back the power. I can speak for myself. Yes. And on some level, that's a way of doing it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking a lot of the time is it's a waste of energy. It's an expense. It's an expense on yourself and your soul, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to put out, it's almost like right now I don't need a bed. You know what I mean? So I'm not gonna buy another bed for my house that I don't need.
Uh-huh.
And I think a lot of times when we speak, that's what we're doing. We're putting shit out there that doesn't need to be out there. That makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
The way to be woke for me, the way to be woke for me is to understand your lineage, where you come from, who you are, and where you would like to see you go. And when I say by you as a people, that is when you are woke. And also, when you are woke is a person that lives for the community. And when I say for the community, I mean the community in which you are around, be it your town, be it your friends, be it your family, or be it five people. Let's say you don't have family and you only have friends, be it those three friends that really love you. You need to create value out of that community. That's how you get woke, and you get woke by reading. And when I say reading, you're reading things like, you know, I don't know, how did, you know, the continent of Africa was formed over, you know, years. No, that's what you, that's how you learn. Or why do African people dance? Why do Asian people, you know, do the those drugs? You know, it's like, that's how you become a, like, you have to get in touch with culture. Know your culture. Your culture is human culture. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, where does, I don't know, capoeira comes from? It's not Brazil. You know, half of the world will tell you it's Brazil, you know? But if you know the meaning of those things, when you see this expression being put on by another human being, then you are awakened, because the dots connect, and the natural knowledge that is within your soul, that is your
comes
DNA,
out.
That is your coding, it comes out, and you realize it, and you get closer to your purpose. And that is, I think, that is being woke.
I love some of the pieces that you said in that, because I always say, I've been saying this over and over again, and I'm working on my book, and I say, never stop asking questions. Don't let, because somebody says to you that you're from this or you're from that, or this is true and this is, you need to dig deep into your knowledge power and into your soul and do your work and say, let me figure this out for myself and what works. What am I going to perceive from this? Because your truth is different from Billy Bob and John's. Now, what I want to ask you is, what do you feel about these, what do you feel about conspiracy theories? Do you feel that there's some type of truth to them? Or do you feel that it's just another type of group? Because this is actually something really big that I'm actually going to be doing a panel about in the next couple of weeks. But I kind of want to, because we're talking about all these different things, what do you feel about these conspiracy theories that you hear out there?
I think we're bored.
Do you think there's any truth in them if you do your own homework?
Yeah, there is some truth. I just think that we're bored. We're bored. We're either, okay, so some people are bored. Some people are living in fear. Some people are living in love. Some people are living in extremes. Now, whenever those ideas of conspiracies meet you at your extreme stage, let's say it's hate. You know what I mean? You'll do something like what this person did this week, where they shot Emmett Till, I believe is his name, the young African American.
It was a whole bunch of kids. Wasn't it a whole bunch or something? Or 11? I just saw it today, I think. Maybe I'm late. 11 kids were shot in Chicago?
Yeah. Oh.
Okay, that's something else.
I'm just saying. No, something like that. You get bored and someone's like, they someone shoots it, right? And then somebody sees that happen and they want to put it on something else that they're bored with out of their mind, I feel, and they start a conspiracy around that. If you're talking about the Q thing, I think that there are a lot of people that have been marginalized or people that have really been left behind. Not because, you know, us as a society decided to, because as a society, we have to understand human beings can be mean, human beings can be nice. Human beings can have mental disorder. Human beings can see things differently. You know what I mean? If you grow up in a place where they tell you, where they teach you that, you know, I don't know, the government's out to get you. They are recording everything, you know, put tape over your camera, you know, turn off this, turn off that. Within that example already, within that analogy, there are examples of a conspiracy theory right there. Do you know what I mean? Because some of it exists doesn't mean all of it exists. And goes back to why we should read, so you can know, okay, in what ways can the government really spy on me? So when people have conspiracy theories, they need to read how it works. Because the great thing about America is, if you have a conspiracy theory and you think something, you know, nefarious is happening, you can bring it up to the police, the government. You know what I'm saying? You can file a lawsuit. You can go to court and be like, you know what? I think all these people ought to do this, and these are my examples. You know what I mean? So just sit online and to do and to like do shit like that or make conspiracy theories and not do anything about it. I'm like, what's the point?
Well, I personally don't trust the government at all. So let's say, like, this is just my opinion. I don't trust law enforcement. I don't trust the government. I don't trust a lot of different things. However, I do agree with you that people do need to make their own assumptions based on, there's a lot of conspiracy theories out there. There's a lot of truth in them. And there's a lot of exaggerated truth. And there's a lot of crap, you know?
Yeah.
So it's how
I was talking. I'll give you an example. I was talking to someone the other day. I think it was Matt. Yeah. And he was telling me that around the earth, we've never been to the moon.
Okay. Keep going.
Around the earth, there is a radioactive layer of just like bad stuff. It's like nuclear. It's like, it's 100 times more powerful than one nuclear weapon or something like that. And he was going on, and I kind of just like, I tried my best to, because, you know, I like to listen to people, you know, give them a voice, because I don't want them to feel unheard. He was going on, and he was just like, if we were to able pierce through that, the space shuttle would just, you know, explode. Lucy would not exist. Cameras can't go through there. So every piece of information we have about space, every pictures we have, the landing on the moon, he's like, none of that is real. We've never been there. It's something that they're saying to us to give us hope.
Okay.
And this person also did say to me, in a few weeks, there's going to be civil war. No one's going to be able to leave their house. It's going to be crazy, man. Watch what's going to happen. Trump called it. But he was like really all about it. And I listened to him. I said, wow, man, that's scary stuff. He's like, yeah, man, I'm preparing.
And what did you think about that?
That scared me.
It scared you. So it instilled some type of fear.
Yeah. If someone says they're getting ready and you're looking at them like, bitch, you crazy.
Okay. And did you...
What you gonna get ready for? What are you getting ready for?
And then what did you... So that information that you got, you felt some type of fear, but did you do any type of your own research to kind of just see, not to see if he was wrong or right, because sometimes it's not about what wrong or right. Sometimes it's just peeking, like, okay, where is he getting this from? Because he sounds crazy, right? Did you look into it for any part that he was saying? Did anything add up for you?
Yes.
And what did you come? What was your conclusion for your own self without him influencing you?
Okay, well, girl, I don't understand face reading that well. But from what I was reading is there are radioactive rays around our atmosphere, and there are rays emitted by the sun and different other, I don't know, entities out there. And there's a lot of, I guess, quote unquote, trash and rock out there that's flying around, but nothing to do with, like, you know, we've never been to space.
Yeah.
It's just like, that's just ridiculous. Like, we've been to space. I don't know.
But you did learn something from that experience, did you not?
I did. Okay. I was just like, I am not going to let this person scare me, one. And two, is just like, you know what? The only way I cannot be scared is if I find out on my own what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. Yeah, it makes total sense. And that's exactly... That is the entire point of what this amazing conversation that we're having is exactly that. So all our listeners listening, like, when people, you run through, you can be anywhere in the world, you can be meeting someone in line or you can have a conversation. The number one thing is if something does not feel right to you, it's going to automatically create fear. But if you don't do your own research and you're on your own, like, your own, if you don't keep true to yourself. So for in this instance, you kept true to yourself because you didn't automatically like just be like, oh yeah, that's so true. You didn't just read something or hear it and just be like, okay, yeah, now I'm about to go get ready. I'm about to go pack up my ramen noodles, whatever.
Yeah.
You know? But that's the problem with like, and I feel that's something that kind of itches me where, especially with pop culture and technology and all this stuff, like, and it's, we're evolving to become sheep because we just go based on what we hear, like, or what headline or what, you know, Donald Trump says, you know, people's uncle, you know, like,
that's the problem. Don't get me started with Donald Trump, girl. He not get me started with no Donald Trump.
I can't even stop laughing. Okay.
You know what, though? In fact, you got me started with Donald Trump.
It's no judgment zone. You can say whatever you want in the show.
I got something to say to Donald Trump.
All right, go ahead.
What a great teacher we have in Donald Trump. What a great teacher we have in Donald Trump. That's what I have to say. That's what I have to say about Donald Trump.
What does that even mean?
It means, like, anything you either agree with or disagree with, he stands for that. And you then have to check yourself and see if that aligns with a value-creating life. And what are you willing to sacrifice to get a value-creating life? Because there's a lot of people out there who will say, the economy, the economy, the economy. Oh, the this and this and that. Listen, that is all great. But when the human heart isn't happy and it's not in harmony, we know what happens. When division sets in, we know what happens. When more fear sets in, we know what happens.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I can't go to the goddamn grocery store without noticing somebody else being evil to somebody else, either being words or the way they're driving.
Yeah.
Just because. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I am so sorry. And if anyone says otherwise, they're like, oh no, America's great. I'm like, listen, and I'm not blaming it on Trump. It's our unwillingness to do the work. Like I said, strap your seatbelt in, go for this ride, and do it right, and make sure you are safe. It's going to be bumpy, but if you put your seatbelt on, you stay focused, you're going to get there.
But,
None of us are doing that kind of work.
And I have to add to what you're saying as far as that. I know that, I've been reading and I've been hearing a lot of things, even podcasts, and politics is something that I don't know. It's just not something that I ever personally, not that other people can talk about it, because I love when people share their point of view and their views, because I respect them all. But I feel that no matter who's in power, who's in seat, or who is whatever, at the end of the day, I know many people are going to disagree what I'm about to say, but we are in control of who we are based on what we want to do. And if we want to have a voice and we want to be impactful and we want to learn and we want to change certain things, everything starts with us. And
Girl,
I
yeah.
know that sounds, and I think that sounds too much like kumbaya or whatever in this perfect little unicorn world that I sometimes live in, that I think it's a utopia. But honestly, at the end of the day, I always say to myself, and I call my brothers this, because I say to them, I'm like, you guys, you're young gentlemen. You live in this millennial world. You need to get a job. You need to follow the rule. Don't be walking around with like beer in your hand and just walking in the street. Like, what? Come on. You know, you just be smart. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter who's in power. It doesn't matter who what. I feel like if you are focusing on you, and doing what you can do for you and helping, like you said, like your community, or empowering what's right, whatever you believe in, not what Charlie believes in. Don't be walking and doing parades because Charlie believes in it. You got to believe in it. I think that, yes, there's going to be a major impact, but there's people that have these voices that if it wasn't for them, there would be no gay rights. If there was people, there would be no, the whole segregation thing. Like, times have changed regardless of what's going on in the world. And it's because one person or one group of people decided to say, this is important to us and we're going to step up for this, no matter who was in power. So that's what I have to say as far as a lot of there's a lot of changes in the world. Depending on, doesn't matter what color you are, where you're from, or what you like, there has been some type of change as a global. And I know some people are going to disagree with me or agree with me and be like, whatever, Lisa, but at the same time, we have control. And like you said in the beginning of the conversation, you said it. You have to know.
No, you said it. Let me tell you. It's going back to the point again.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you right now. Slavery wouldn't have happened. The Holocaust wouldn't have happened.
Mm-hmm.
The Armenian genocide wouldn't have happened.
Mm-hmm.
what's happening right now in Africa, people being sold, kids being sold, wouldn't happen. Oh. Do you know how this happens? What's happening in Spain right now wouldn't happen. There's a resurgence of, you know, a nationalism around the world.
It's
resources and funds and money and wealth. There's not enough of it to go around, right? Mm-hmm. That's what people are under the belief of. So if I'm in power and I'm really rich and I see the state of the world and I realize, okay, with power then comes with wealth. Someone like Donald Trump is a brilliant genius. When you can stand on a podium and tell people, immigrants are bad, shithole country, blah, 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 America first, America, 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 it's about us, it's not about them. All he's doing is getting more power. There are people who believe that.
He's creating that. Yep, and people are believing it, and people are drawn to that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that division is all around the world. We are drawn to power. And if you're uneducated and you live in fucking, I don't know, the Philippines or something, and you see Donald Trump, you know, supposed to be the most powerful person in the world, and he's telling people, okay, these immigrants are bad, they're going to come in, blah, blah, blah. If you are over there and there, you have an immigrant problem also, you'll start saying the same rhetoric. You'll see it the same way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because you're not understanding. You're not understanding. So what you do is you follow, just like, you know, the highest population of Hispanics voted for Donald Trump. And it's been said. I mean, and this is something that where people don't understand, but it's, again, that power, you know, it's about the control. It's about, you have to understand, like, that's why it's like you said in the beginning of this call, you know, you have to understand your culture. You have to understand what is that mindset. If you can brainwash, because that's literally what the word is. If you can brainwash or you can manipulate anything and you have power, you can change things and the sky's blue, but you could really make people think that that sky is green. Reflecting off of the grass. Again, some of our listeners might, you know, not agree with me, which is fine. This is not about this show is about agreeing to disagree, and it's okay because that's what makes the world.
I have homework for your guests and for yourself.
Okay, go ahead.
If you ever want to see how intoxicating power is, think about a time in the past of your life when this has happened. I'm going to tell you my own experience of it. And I saw how I acted, and I was just like, holy crap. Mm-hmm. So I manage at a restaurant. I can tell people whatever the hell I want them to do. After a while, I started to see how much I love watching people, knowing that they don't want to do something, but just because I told them to do it.
So think
about the last time you're in a relationship, and you're like, I don't want to do this, but I know I'm going to ask this person to do it because they are afraid that either I will leave them, or they are afraid that they're not going to get sex tonight, or they are afraid that... No, there are consequences. And when you, the person in power, can look at someone and you can tell them to do it and be all calm about it, the pleasure that comes from that is immeasurable, right? Mm-hmm. But it's really destroying you, the person that's inflicting the power.
Yes.
But a lot of times we are so unaware that we don't even know when we're doing that. And we do it every day. Mm-hmm. We do it when we go to a restaurant, we don't get something that we want. We go to someone like, fix it. I don't like that. And you look at them. That is not the way to be. If we're going to need to change, we need to be on that level. We do it to a lot of people. Yes, there. I'm not, this is not kumbaya, there shouldn't be consequences. Yes, there should be consequences for everything that we do. But when we are yielding our power and we're doing something with it that it doesn't help us, we're just waving it around like a crazy-ass sword, doesn't work. We're creating that division then and there.
Yeah, because that power makes you feel ignited. It's like somebody putting gasoline in you, and you're like roaring, and then you get that little bit of power.
There are no consequences.
No, and there's no consequences.
You're like, I'm going to say it.
But then guess what?
It is very damaging. It is very damaging. The news are not reporting it is very damaging what leaders are doing to the world right now.
Mm-hmm.
The news is damaging how can I word this? All right, let's do it this way. What the leaders are doing in the world right now is not cool. What they're saying that the news is doing is what the news should be doing. But if the news start to do what they should be doing, the world will really then hate them. So they're in a really hard position. There's a reason when you turn on CNN and MSNBC, they're like, you know, they say the same things we're saying, but they're not saying it how they're supposed to. They're not making, like, you know, analogies from, like, third world countries. They're just saying, like, you know, it is dangerous, you know, to not say the facts, you know? It is dangerous.
Yeah, it is dangerous.
For someone in office to do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they're like, division is not a great thing, because they have to be factual in that sense. Because the moment they start giving examples and blah, 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 it starts to get emotional. And when it gets emotional, they lose more than half of the people that they have right now.
It's the manipulated.
Yes.
You just said it. The manipulated now feels like, okay, shit, I was just manipulated. Like, now they're hung-ho about their one leader, or whatever leader it is, whatever they're passionate about, whatever's in their home, their heart. And then if somebody on TV says something else, it's like, oh my God, what's going on? And they can do the extreme. The extreme can happen. Yeah, that's true.
We are in a very tough world. I find it very scary. It's not really that hopeful, honestly. And it's just good to see that human beings need to see that we are human beings and we are evil sometimes.
Mm-hmm. We all are. We all undo it. And I want to thank you so much. I mean, I really enjoyed this conversation. I don't even know where you are, if you're in the car or you're not, but I appreciate you taking the time to talk. But the one thing I want to do before I end this call is I want you to say something to other listeners, something that you live by, that you would in all these, in this world of chaos, of everything that's going on, what's one thing you would tell, your opinion, for people to do, when they feel confused, hurt, they feel like they want revenge, they want, they're frustrated, they want whatever it is. What is the one thing you want to leave to them before we end the call?
I always say this, and when you guys go back and when you guys are listening to this, just hear how many times Bhavala said what. Whenever you feel something, because why does it work anymore for us, I believe? Why works when you, I think why works when you are at peace. When you are under pressure, conflicted, disorientated, what? What does this serve for me is what I always ask.
I love that.
What does this serve for me? Like, what am I doing? What is going on? What? Because you know what it does? It puts it onto me. For me to open up the windows of my soul to find the answer. Why?
I love it.
Puts it on someone else. That's where the division starts, on why. You know, why does Hillary Clinton? Why can't Donald Trump? Why does Obama? Why? Okay, you know what I mean? Okay, what is the last thing we're talking about? Okay, the Russian, the meeting. Why is he meeting with Russian? Why is he? No, it's like, well, what is it serving him? And what does it serve us? And the moment we find that out, then we'll know what to do. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I love it.
Why is she always screaming at me when I don't cook for her? Why is he always, what did I do? Or what did I do? Or what does this serve for me? Like, what does this serve for me? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what can I get out of this? What can I change out of this? What? I always ask what, not why.
Mm-hmm. And that's a great way of never stop asking these open-ended questions where it's going to always pique you. I thank you so much for being on my show, Richardson. I love you so much. I love talking to you. And for everybody listening, you know, I've been having a lot of my friends on the show specifically because these are the conversations that I remember even on our couch, right? We're just sitting, people just come over and we just have these intellectual conversations. We've been having coffee, tea, wine, whatever. And it's great. These are conversations that people don't have anymore. These are the conversations that people are scared of having because they're scared of giving their opinion or their voice because they feel like, oh my God, I'm going to be judged. I'm going to be this. Keep asking questions, everybody. Thank you, Richardson, so much for being on my show. I love
you
so much.
Nice.
And no problem. And until next time, you guys, remember, ask yourself, keep asking yourself the question. Have a good one. Bye, you guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.